The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We have unannounced guests.
We have unannounced guests. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, coming to you from the 960 Patriot Broadcast Studio, brought to you by the veteran-owned Midas Gold Group, your trusted source for precious metals. It's not unannounced. He's part and parcel of our team here, Mr. Bill. Yes?
He barged right in.
I invited him. He's an invitee because I think he's the first person that turned me on to Jordan Peterson, I think. Oh. How long have you known of Jordan Peterson's works?
Oh, about 5 years.
Yeah, that's about right. I was late to the game on that. And I remember after you told me about him and I started reading him, I asked Bill Bennett, I said, what do you know about Jordan Peterson? He said, read everything he writes.
Quite an endorsement.
Yeah, that was an endorsement. And then Bill Montgomery, my friend, took me to go see him speak when he was here. Must have been about a year and a half ago or so when he was last in Phoenix, I think. One of the things that interested me so much about Jordan Peterson at that event was how many young people were there. You know, they filled the auditorium, thousands of people, and it sold out for two nights in a row.
Wow.
Which is interesting. And it was really cool to see young people there, people of all ages. But I noticed a lot of under 40s, a lot of under 30s.
The young respond to his message.
Yeah, they really do. Psychologist out of originally Canada, who's written 12 Rules for Life and I think probably a follow-up to that and a lot of other stuff.
Right.
Done a lot of the PragerU talks too, hasn't he?
Yeah, at least one.
At least one. Would it be accurate to say he's kind of a prophet of our time, of sorts?
I don't think it'd be unreasonable
prophet
to say that.
Prophet maybe too strong, but something,
sure.
a great public intellect of our time. Boy, it'd be interesting to think about who the five greatest public intellectuals of our age are right now. Is Victor Davis Hanson in that category? Dennis Prager, Victor Hanson, Jordan Peterson. We need two more.
Seth Leibson.
No.
William J. Bennett.
No. Well, William, yeah, maybe he's a little, he's more in retirement right now. But yeah, I mean, not fully, but you know, I think everything he's written, given the verities, still stand. I love bringing out his old speeches and essays and stuff.
Because they're evergreen.
Yeah,
as we say
yeah.
In the
well,
business.
I mean, when you say the truth, Father Time doesn't beat it, does it?
No, it does not.
So, Jordan Peterson, the reason I was raising this, I know everyone's talking about what Joe Biden's going to say tonight. Breaking news, Joe Biden preparing for state. That's not breaking news. It might be breaking news if he's preparing for the State of the Union. God knows what his levels of preparation are. Maybe this is the first time he's prepared. I don't know. But it's impossible to give much speculation. There's the one big piece of news that most people agree on is he's going to announce a U.S. partnership with other countries in helping build a pier off Gaza's port so that naval supplies can be brought in by the navies of various countries and to give humanitarian relief to Gaza. The most interesting thing I saw in a New York Times story on that today was it was not clear whether Israel would participate in the building of that. Interesting. If Israel does participate, whether the Gazans will want that, you know? It'll be interesting. I mean, Israel has a long record of supplying humanitarian relief to other countries. It would be a remarkable thing to expect of Israel, as so many seem to be, that they provide relief to their enemies in a time of war. Has anyone ever studied wars and does anyone know Churchill's record and the boycott of England and the economic blockade? Excuse me, the boycott of Germany and the economic boycott of Germany, 1939 to 1945. You think Churchill and Roosevelt were concerned about airdropping humanitarian relief to the areas that they were bombing? Anyway, Jordan Peterson was speaking today at the House of Representatives subcommittee on the weaponization of the federal government, and I thought it might be fun to hear what he had to say. So, without further ado.
Yes, well, I would like to start by expressing my appreciation for the privilege awarded to me to testify here today. It really is an honor to be asked to do so. I'm not here to talk about January 6th or about any particular threat, insurrection, or protest, political or ideological, real or imaginary. I'm here to talk about the already extant and expanding collusion of government and corporation in restricting the individual freedom and autonomy upon which the productive, generous, and stable psyche, economy, and state are themselves necessarily founded. I'll begin my comments, therefore, in the most general terms to shed light on the mounting problem. There are now 700 million CCTVs in China under the rule of the Communist Party. The system to which those electronic eyes are attached is the most complete state apparatus of surveillance yet imagined, with the ability not only to recognize faces at a distance, but gait itself when facial features are hidden or obscured. Such capability can and will soon be augmented to the point where the movement of eyes themselves, monitored by high-resolution and intelligent cameras, will soon be sufficient to identify any aware and active party. The demented, naive, and prideful engineers who so enthusiastically helped build this system call it Skynet. After the rogue and all-seeing technology that took such a dreadfully wrong turn in the famous science fiction movie Terminator series, featuring artificially intelligent robot intelligences hell-bent on protecting themselves by destroying humanity. The name also references a well-known Chinese phrase describing the reach of the divine itself. The net of heaven is vast, yet it misses nothing, which aptly describes the capabilities of the new state apparatus. The system is integrated with the so-called Chinese social credit system, which awards its involuntary participants with a score indicating their compliance with the dictates of the Chinese Communist Party, allowing for full control over access to everything they possess electronically, most ominously their savings and their access to travel. Certainly, all modern means of travel, but increasingly as the electronic gates come up, even by walking. If you're Chinese or a visitor, your access to the world can be reduced to zero if your social credit score falls beyond an arbitrary minimum. This allows you purposefully to be shut out of all activities that can be virtualized. And in a rapidly virtualizing world, this increasingly means all activities, driving, shopping, working, eating, finding shelter, even fraternizing with friends and family, as merely being in the presence of someone with a low social credit score means that your own score can be lowered. This has also opened up the opportunity for the government to extract slave-like labor from its citizens so burdened, as the donation of free work to the state still constitute one means by which erring Chinese men and women can increase their score and remain part of human society. This is precisely the payment system most desired by the most tyrannical, not the work for me and benefit thereby that constitutes the contractual arrangement undertaken by free and sovereign citizens, but the work for me and I will lift the deprivation I imposed. It has always been the leitmotif of the slaver. Why is any of this relevant to people in the West? Well, because the technology that the Chinese Communist Party employs is an extension of Western technology.
Should we pick up on that a little bit? Quite an interesting wake-up call, isn't it? There's a good word in there we don't use around here enough, leitmotif, a recurrent theme. But you get the sense of what he's describing, 1984, don't you? You can have Skynet, or you can have Big Brother. It might be called Skynet in China. Here we'd call it Big Brother. And I think it's an important hearing. I hope it doesn't get lost with all the speculation about what's to be said later tonight. I think it's important we hear from Jordan Peterson on what is being done right now and last night. So maybe when we come back, we'll do a little more with Jordan Peterson. I'm Seth Leibson, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, coming to you from the 960 Patriot Broadcast Studio, which is brought to you by our veteran-owned Midas Gold Group, your trusted source for precious metals. Right before the break, we were playing some of the testimony before the House Judiciary Committee today, their subcommittee on the weaponization of the federal government. And Jordan Peterson, Dr. Peterson, was testifying to the surveillance state that he was describing takes place in China. And he asked, why is this relevant to people in the West? And I thought it would be good for us to hear him out on the rest of his opening testimony.
Because we already fell prey to the terrible temptation of lockdown employed by that state in the face of hypothetical crisis once and in the very recent past, because we're walking step by step in the same direction, partly because of the hypothetical convenience of universal and automatic recognition of identity, and partly because any problem whatsoever that now confronts us can easily be used to justify the increasing reach of the security and nanny state. It is said that Stone Age people first confronted with cameras and their resultant photographs by modern anthropologists objected to having their images captured as they feared the captivity of their souls. It turns out that such fear was prescient. The images that we leave behind while navigating virtual space are such close duplicates of our actual selves that the capture of our essence is at this point all but guaranteed. We all now have our doppelgangers. We all live so much in the virtual world in consequence of our purchasing habits and modes of electronically mediated communication that our very selves have become reducible to a frightening degree to data, the modern equivalent of our footprint, with the same data making up an image of our identity, an identity which can be and is increasingly bought and sold by the invisible corporate brokers that still mostly use it to sell us what we so desperately and carelessly and conveniently want, but that can also be used to track, monitor, and punish everything we do and say. Behavioral scientists facilitate this process with their reprehensible nudging, the practice of pushing people in a given ideologically determined direction by manipulating invisible incentives behind the scene. Corporations track purchasing decisions, developing algorithms that with increasing accuracy track our patterns of attention and action, allowing for the prediction of what might next be most enticing, doing so not only to offer us what we want, but to determine and shape what we need. Governments can and are colluding with these corporate agents to develop a picture not only of our actions, but of our thoughts and words, so that deviation from the desired end can be mapped, rewarded, and punished. The development of a digital identity and currency is nothing more than the likely end consequence of such inclinations, and the combination of both can and will facilitate the development of a surveillance state, the scope of which optimistic pessimists of totalitarianism such as George Orwell could scarcely imagine. The new AI systems, which are so rapidly emerging, do nothing but increase this danger, providing for the possibility of a super surveillance whose scope exceeds anything that mere unaugmented humans could imagine, while also making it certain that even the perceptions that in the real world shape our attitudes, conduct, and personality can be manipulated to the degree that we will not even be able to see a reality outside which that has been constructed by the superstate, the ultimate fascist collusion between gigantic self-interested corporations and paranoid, security-obsessed, anti-human governments. We're already selling our souls to the superstate for the purposes of immediate gratification, while being enticed to do so by
fear. Mr. Chairman, could the witness be asked to summarize, please?
Do I have my 5 minutes or do I not?
You've gone over 5 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can certainly.
If the witness could summarize, we're always a little lenient with the time.
I'll take 10 more seconds.
Sure.
With increasing ability to monitor not only the actual attention patterns and behaviors of its citizens, but to predict those that are most likely, The persecution of even potential crime becomes ever more likely. If you have nothing to hide, you will have nothing to fear, will be the slogan commandeered by those most likely to turn to surveillance to protect and control. What was the famous Soviet totalitarian joke attributed to Lavrenty Beria, head of the secret police? Show me the man and I'll show you the crime. Those words were true enough in the time of Stalin's KGB, and the police were secret enough then as well. But that's nothing compared to what we can and likely will produce now, a police so secret that we will not even be able to detect their comprehensive and subtle activity, monitoring crime so pervasive that everyone under the dictates of the system will have something to hide or much to fear.
It's so interesting to me that there are Democrats on the committee that want to silence him and that want to circumscribe and shut him up. It's so interesting to me that they would even go on record, people like Jerry Nadler, that's whose voice you heard, asking him to wrap it up, to stop talking. Steve Cohen, Hank Johnson is on the committee. Remember Hank Johnson? Hank Johnson thought that an island would tip over due to, what was it, overpopulation. These geniuses, that's who's trying to shut up Jordan Peterson. I don't know if you have the same experience as I do. I was just thinking, you know, when I was in college or maybe even grad school, but I think most in college, high school and college, you would go back and do some research. You'd do these big research papers and you'd go back into the archives of congressional hearings and testimonies of experts, whether it was around the Red Scare, World War I, maybe, or the Palmer Raids, for example, or maybe judicial hearings or judicial nomination hearings. Or maybe during World War II, you would do some, you know, research on, I don't know, pick your thing, fascism in America or fascism's growth abroad, or perhaps the HUAC hearings, perhaps the Chambers Hiss controversy. You would go back and read these things and you discover these gems of testimony and you wonder sometimes to yourself, if we only took that seriously then, where were they then? The New York Times had maybe just a handful of articles of what was going on in Nazi Germany. And you wonder if anyone took it seriously then, what could have been prevented? Or perhaps if you took seriously what we were learning about in Fidel Castro's movement early on, or maybe even Mao Zedong's before that. You know, there are reports here and there. There is testimony in Congress here and there. And you go back in the archives when you do your research and you say, what were we thinking not listening to that, not paying closer attention to that, not taking that more seriously? Do you ever wonder maybe someday down the line people might look at this kind of testimony of Jordan Peterson's in their archival research and say, man, why didn't we listen more to that? Man, why didn't we take him more seriously? And who was this dunderhead Gerald Nadler who wouldn't let him speak for one more minute? Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, coming to you from the 960 Patriot Broadcast Studio, which is brought to you by the veteran-owned Midas Gold Group, your trusted source for precious metals. Let's put in a word for our event on March 26th, Young David Fighting for Freedom. We're bringing Mike Gallagher out, and I'll be on stage with him, and Brandon Tatum will be joining us, the three of us. We'll have some other special guests throughout the evening for you, but we'll be taking Q&A with you, talking about what we think will be the most important issues in the election and what we need to know about them, what we need and how we need to think about them, and we'll want to hear from you as well. March 26th, you can get tickets at 960thepatriot.com. That's 960thepatriot.com. And through the generosity of our management here, we're giving away a pair of tickets every Friday, one free pair of tickets. All you have to do to enter to be eligible to win those tickets is email David over here, ddoll, D-D-O-L-L, at salempx.com. If you do go to 960thepatriot.com to buy those tickets, we have a special discount just for our listeners, don't we, David?
That's right. It's a special discount for you, the listeners of Seth's show. We'd like to give back. So if you go to 960thepatriot.com and click on Fighting for Freedom, right now we're offering $5 off every ticket you buy, and that does stack if you get tickets for your whole family and all of your friends and your PTA group and everybody in your church and everybody else.
PTA group, I love it.
Right?
Yes, of course.
The code Harper is Seth5Off. That's Seth, the number 5, O-F-F, off. Seth5Off. They'll get you $5 off every single ticket you buy for the event.
We will. Thank you for that, David. Did you like how I did that, Mr. Bill? I kind of threw it to David like Adam Carolla throws it to Dawson for the rest of the read. You know, Adam Carolla starts his read and then he says, "Isn't that right, Dawson?"
That's right. Da, 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 da.
Right? Yeah. We
I could start doing that.
Yeah. Well,
that's right, Seth.
Yeah. Well, no. Just regular voice is fine.
I can keep, you know.
Yeah, just keep it steady strain on the voice. No ersatz accents.
Voice low, still getting lower. Dan Quayle still gaining acceptance.
Is that the Dana Carvey imitation?
That's Dana Carvey, yep.
Pretty funny. Everyone's speculating about what Joe Biden will say tonight, the State of the Union. What will be at the State of the Union tonight will be the campaign theme for the rest of the election for the Biden campaign. I think short of Joe Biden saying he's hanging it up or he's retiring at this point, which I don't expect. I mean, that would be news. But short of that, what you're going to hear about is the economy and coming out of COVID and threats to democracy. That's what you're going to hear about. It'll be interesting to see how long he goes. But there's not very much more to speculate on about that. What we will do is a full and thorough analysis for you tomorrow. Just something to keep in mind about the economy. I'm going to speak with Jeff Anderson later. He has this great piece in the Claremont Review of Books, reviewing a couple books on the experience with COVID. So I'm going to confine my interview to him, with him, to that. But he does have a piece at City Journal, excerpted a little bit at Powerline. Jeffrey Anderson presents a comparative analysis of presidents and inflation. You can get a link to it through Powerline, the price of inflation. The mainstream press, to the contrary, notwithstanding, Jeff Anderson explains what Biden has done to make us feel so black and blue. It's not our imagination. It's the inflation. The daycare minders at the White House have persuaded Biden to single out shrinkflation as the villain. However, shrinkflation reflects inflation, Scott Johnson writes. It's a manifestation of rising prices. Sentient observers understand that Biden economic policies have triggered the inflation that we have suffered, just as they understand that Biden's senescence has slowed the windmills of his mind. Biden trusts we won't notice. He indicts himself when he decries shrinkflation. That's absolutely right. Biden's daycare minders take us for fools. Thus, the administration's critique of Republicans for causing the invasion of illegals that Biden invited, facilitated, and denied, they think we are stupid. We hear that Biden threatens to point the finger at alleged corporate wrongdoing as the source of our pain in tonight's State of the Union address. For some reason or other, this wave of alleged wrongdoing has run riot under the regime of Joe Biden. It was somehow held in check under Donald Trump. Figure that, riddle me that one. All right, 602-5080-960. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. The folks at Midas Gold Group have told me the U.S. government and the Fed will have no choice but to eventually steer interest rates lower, because if they don't, the current level of interest rates will bankrupt the nation. There's no telling when that dam will break. But when it does, Midas wants to make sure you have flood insurance. In this case, gold. Call Midas Gold Group now. Look into the opportunities gold can provide you as a way to diversify your investments. Call them at 480-360-3000 or go to MidasGoldGroup.com. Midas Gold Group is the nation's number one veteran-owned gold IRA firm. Protect your assets. Call 480-360-3000. That's 480-360-3000. Midas Gold Group, always faithful. MidasGoldGroup.com. We had a caller who dropped who was going to complain about our music, I think. But irrespective of that, we bring you the sad news that Steve Lawrence has passed away.
Today?
88 years old.
Steve, yeah. And Edie Gorman.
Well, she predeceased him, but yeah.
Predeceased him.
Well, that's what it's called.
Is it really?
Yes. if you've ever written a will or anything like that, if so-and-so predeceases me or you treat someone as predeceased.
But maybe I need
you
to
keep this up.
Who
you may have to start. Yeah, right.
When
yeah.
I pass away.
Exactly. I met him once. I met him with the aforementioned Bill Bennett, actually, in Los Angeles, Steve Lawrence. Couldn't have been nicer. His son, if I'm not mistaken, you can check me on this. I think his son wrote High School Musical. It's a talented family. I think I'm right. Remember what a big deal High School Musical was? Why is that funny?
Boy, do I.
What?
I was in
you were
school
in it.
At that time.
You were
no,
in
I
it.
Was not in the musical, but boy, do I. I was in school at that time.
All right. Let's go to Josh and Gilbert. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Seth. Thanks for taking the call. I
you
appreciate
bet.
It.
You bet.
I'll be super quick. The inflation thing absolutely boils my blood. Now, I might have mentioned before, but, you know, I've got three boys under 5 years old. So it's not like I'm feeding an army here or anything like that. I am extremely conscious of how expensive things at the store are.
Oh, yeah.
And it's extremely insulting when all I hear about is, oh, inflation's going down, this and that. Well, guess what? Prices are still really high. And, you know, I'm blessed with a great job. My wife is, too. So, you know, we're able to handle that. That's not a problem. But when I hear other people really struggle or see how much food they get for, you know, how little food they get for as much as they spend.
Yeah.
I want to seriously ask some of these Democrats or just politicians in general. When was, do you actually go grocery shopping?
One totally wonders. Or if they just go shopping on an expense account that they're given or with the, yeah, absolutely. One has to wonder. Because I know people are hurting. I know they are. I know people are talking about, paychecks that go to Wednesday but bills that go to Friday. I know it. I know it, man.
Yeah, I think that should be basically all that Trump hammers. It's just maybe people know because we listen to your show, so we're an educated group. But, you know, people are shocked when I tell them that Arizona has had the highest inflation of any state since all of this started. I mean, 5-6 years ago, I mean, Arizona was, super cheap. Gas was always cheap. Groceries are cheap. People come here, it's like we've literally turned into California. I had a buddy I work with go to New York City last week with a friend, and he said the prices at restaurants there were really not that much more than you would find here now.
Is that right? Really? Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's
wow.
It. I mean, it's crazy. It's just.
Wow.
So the inflation thing is completely wild. I mean, it just really upsets me. So anyway,
it upsets me too. And it upsets me that Joe Biden is blaming the corporations. I mean, I have a lot of blame for corporations and they're not innocent on a lot of things. But this business that he's rephrasing inflation to shrinkflation as some kind of evil effort on their part, nefarious effort on their part. They're trying to cut a profit to keep employees based on the prices that have gone up due to his policies. And he's trying to shirk it off to them when it's his policies. And, you know, as Scott Johnson was saying a few moments ago, or as I was quoting Scott Johnson saying a few moments ago, somehow there wasn't shrinkflation under Donald Trump.
No, I know. It seemed like things were. It's like we're talking about the good old days, like it was 50 years ago.
I think over the course of his presidency, yeah, I think it was an average of 1.9%, I think, 1.8%. I think we're at about 3.5% now, but we took it. Joe Biden took us up to over 7. Yeah. Yeah. We're still higher than it was under Trump.
And most of these people who are saying all this garbage anyway live in D.C., where it's probably super expensive anyway. So they're probably.
It is.
Like you said, probably. They're kind of, yeah, I used to live in San Francisco, and I have a mother-in-law who lives in Maui. So I know what it's like to be in a place where
things are expensive.
Yeah, those
are high prices. Yeah.
But that's not the norm of, the country. You know what
I
mean?
No, I wasn't kidding when I said expense accounts. I mean, a lot of people live on expense accounts in D.C. That is to say, other people's money.
Well, I'm sure these people all use the, home pickup stuff, too, and just have stuff delivered to them. I mean, they're not actually going to the grocery store hanging out with the peasants.
Hey, the hoi polloi. Who was it? Who was stymied? Thank you, Josh. Be well. I appreciate you. who was it? Was Lamar Alexander who got cut up on the price of milk, wasn't it, in 1996? I think it was Lamar Alexander running for president in 1996. A reporter asked him what it cost to buy a quart of milk or a gallon of milk or a half a gallon of milk, I guess it would have been. And he kind of stumbled through it. And one of the things political consultants tell every candidate now is know the price of a gallon of milk, know the price of a dozen eggs, know the price of a loaf of bread. Isn't that the old Sesame Street theme? What was it? Quart of milk, can of butter, loaf of bread, something like quart of milk, stick of butter, can of, what is it? Help me, Bill. Can't, loaf of bread, stick of butter, quart of milk. Yeah, that's what it was. Okay. That's what it was. I think that's what he's going to do. He's going to go after the corporations tonight. And that's a kind of a standard left-wing go-to. What's interesting is he's not going to find a lot of conservatives jumping to their defense. If he's looking for a wedge issue here, if you want anti-corporate rhetoric from the last 3 to 4 years, maybe a little longer even, maybe the last 8 to 10 years, really, I think that's more accurate. The last 8 to 10 years, if you want anti-corporate rhetoric, believe it or not, you're going to be listening more to conservatives than liberals. They found the one thing to criticize corporations on, and funny enough, it's the one thing they're actually not that guilty of. Bobby?
You betcha.
Little Bobby Darin there. Welcome back to the set. Why did you put that on?
Why did I put that on?
Yeah.
Must you know, or do you want to do your read first?
I must know.
You must know at this very moment?
Splish splash, yeah.
Because, well, you're looking forward to whatever President Biden's going to say. I'm looking forward to whatever Senator Kyrsten Sinema is going to wear tonight. Do you recall last year that she wore that yellow bodysuit?
Yeah.
Yeah, like a rubber duck.
Oh.
Ah,
That's an anfractious way of getting to splish
thing
splash.
Splish splash, I was taking a bath, rubber ducks. I'm just looking forward to whatever she's going to wear. And it pains me on the inside that this is the last State of the Union that we get to see whatever Kyrsten Sinema is wearing.
Her sartorial demeanor, that's what interests
me. Well, you know that I'm a sartorial inclined gentleman.
Yeah, you are.
Somebody that has a very distinct sense of fashion.
Yeah, you used to work for Ralph Lauren, right?
I did. Yeah. I did. I used to work for Ralph.
And elsewhere. Other
places as well.
Other haberdashers.
Haberdasheries, yep. I do know that word.
Yes, portions of the show brought to you by our good friends at YRefi. Check them out at investyrefi.com. That's invest, the letter Y, then refy.com. Or give them a call at 888-YREFI-24, 888-YREFI-24. They offer a secure investment in a collateralized portfolio. There are absolutely no fees, and there is no attack on principal if you ever need your money back. Of course, you get a monthly statement with no surprises, and you can turn your income on or off or compound it, whatever you like with YREFI. But best of all, you can earn up to a 10.25% fixed rate of return, and it's not correlated to the stock market or the Federal Reserve. Check them out at investyrefi.com. That's invest, the letter Y, then refy.com, or call them at 888-YREFI-24, 888-YREFI-24. You can do really dumb things in public policy, as Oregon is learning. When they decriminalized all drugs in 2020, boy, Mr. Bill and I were looking at the statistics earlier. They did this in 2020. Open-air drug dealing and use became the norm, frustrating local officials, including Portland's mayor. 2021, 2022 had the highest rate of residents reporting past month use of illegal drugs, not including marijuana. Yeah, not including many of marijuana. Law enforcement officers have issued more than 6,000 tickets in Oregon since decriminalization. Drug users have ignored most of them. So the police largely stopped out handing out the citations as a waste of time. More than 700,000 people in Oregon who needed treatment for substance abuse, drug use, illegal drug abuse, they didn't get it. This whole idea between 2020 and 2022 has led to a lot of death. Overdose deaths increased 75% in Oregon. You happy with that, folks? You happy with that? From 797 to over 1,400. Idiots. And now they have to try and put that genie back in the bottle. Good luck. The bottle's half broken.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.